Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio. Oh, and I'm with
You're
Stephanie.
You're alone today.
I am not alone with Stephanie. This is Dan and Stephanie.
See, folks, I feel in his ball.
You're so abused.
I know.
I'm so sorry. Should tell the world about it, too.
I know.
Okay. So, welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven. We are back with the second show with our good friend, Susan Brinkman, Bundle of Awesomeness.
Yep.
She's written a great book, Learn to Discern. Exquisite researcher, very good writer. Been working on the exposing false beliefs that infiltrate the church, the New Age, etc., for decades now. And we're glad to have you back. Welcome back, Sue.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Thanks for all your good work and also with Johnette over at Women of Grace, which is an awesome resource.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
I'm going to piggyback off, I think it was our pre-show conversation.
Uh-huh.
Because Sue, you were sharing with us that at Women of Grace, you know, you have a place where people can, you know, write in and go, what about this? What about this? So, and apparently, like when you started rattling some of that stuff off, I thought, what? You know, all kinds of brand new stuff. So what are the New Age occult practices that are trending right now? What are some of the new things that are coming up? And how do people figure all this out? Like, how do they discern? Is this dangerous? Is this okay? Is acceptable? I mean, I saw somebody questioning just recently whether they can use any kind of homeopathy. Is that a cult? You know, all the kind of stuff. So just wondering what you're seeing on your end.
A lot of alternatives. People are using alternatives as if they were medicine. They are not. The actual definition of an alternative is an untested treatment of some kind, untested treatment or therapy. It means that it has either not been tested or it has failed scientific scrutiny. So you have things like homeopathy. You just brought that homeopathy up. That's still actually very popular, is homeopathy. Homeopathy, they don't even bother to research it anymore because there's no merit to it at all. Mm-hmm. And this has been after decades and decades of very serious scientific scrutiny. There's just nothing to homeopathy. It's nothing but water. That's all it is water. They believe that water has a memory and they can put ingredients in there that are so diluted. They're actually diluted to the point that they've just become water, but they claim that the water remembers everything that touched it, and therefore this tincture is going to work for you. It doesn't work. It's just water. In fact, this is over in England, because in England homeopathy is very big. They have whole homeopathic hospitals over there, because King Charles is a big backer of homeopathy, and their own parliament has condemned it, said not to give it any more money because it just isn't. It's not doing anything in clinical studies. And this is the problem with all kinds of alternatives. So many people out there, Spinal Tap Energy is the ones on my, that's one of the ones on my agenda for this week. Spinal Tap Energy, ask me what it is. I'll say, I don't know. I don't know yet. It's all this stuff is based on this energy, vibrations from the universe. You have misuse of things like herbs and the misuse of things like essential oils. Herbs and essential oils, of course, are natural. They're fine. But when you're using them in superstitious ways, such as to treat ailments that they have never been tested and proven to treat, then you're getting into the area of what's known as superstitious medicine. Mm-hmm. We are morally obligated as Catholics, and that's in the directives for healthcare workers, which is based on the teachings of St. John Paul II. You are obligated to use ordinary means, meaning tested scientific means, for anything that is contagious or life-threatening. Mm-hmm. And that's considered to be an act of charity towards your family and your community. But people just kind of go, they hide behind the big pharma is, and modern medicine is just out to make money. It's all greedy people. They kind of hide behind that conspiracy theories to escape doing their due diligence.
You know, if I could just do a little back and forth on this, I think we have to admit, I mean, especially with what we've seen with the whole vaccine thing, that big pharma is about, you know, making money. And I'm not even saying that's wrong. Of course, I believe in capitalism, you know, tethered by morality, of course, or more mitigated by morality. So that's true. We have to acknowledge that, I think. Otherwise, nobody would be creating new drugs, because there's no reason to spend millions of dollars if you don't make millions of dollars, you know, to cover your expenses. Another aspect of it is some discoveries happen on accident and then are studied later and verified. And so
all original medicine came about that way.
Right. All so, well, and I'm thinking even about, I don't know what you think about EMDR therapy, but the origin of EMDR therapy, which is to help you to deal with wounds and painful memories and help to bring them forward, was a woman walking through a forest. And suddenly she started having these, you know, revelations about past events that hadn't recurred to her before. Then she's asking the question as a scientist, why is this happening to me in this forest? Well, it's because she figured out it's the passing of these trees. And so they started then using this approach.
I may have argued that it was grace, but that would have been me.
So all true remedies are mercy.
Yes,
I mean,
yes,
you're right.
Absolutely.
All
yes.
true remedies, all Lord authentic remedies all are, things, are
right?
mercy.
Yeah.
So, but of course that could have sounded crazy. So the tough part about all this, and I'll, you know, as someone who lived with life-threatening illness, and I had a very, very tough year last year, you really start going, is there no way really to help me? Am I really going to just die of this? Am I really not? I'm just going to get worse and worse, and I'm going to die? You know, so I get the anguish and the, you know, the only thing that, I mean, obviously.
See, the seeking of relief.
Yeah, what helps me a ton is we are Carmelite like you, and we understand the value of suffering and embracing that. Thanks be to God, though, three Catholic doctors tracked me down last year and said, there's actually a new remedy for you. And it's, of course, scientifically proven. How do we go about living in that complex reality of not everything that is to be discovered has been discovered, and what things can be relied upon? And I think it goes back to your comment about homeopathy, and it's been out there for years, and it's been proven not to be real. So we've got to be open to honest study and inquiry. I don't know. What are your thoughts about all that?
Oh, absolutely. I think that there are, but you have to understand that, and this is, I think, at the basis of that, as far as Catholic teaching on this subject, is that as the Catechism teaches, even though faith is indeed above science, there can never be any real discrepancy between faith and reason. And where you get into trouble here, Dan, is when you begin to throw out whole industries because of what some of them have done. Everybody knows that Big Pharma has done some really seriously bad things.
Yeah,
we all know that. And you look at the whole, like you were saying about the vaccines and all the different things that people were, products that they were putting out. There was a woman with the pen, the EpiPen. I mean, things like that, like bumping up the prices 300% on things. We all know that that's true. However, the same industry is what has prevented some of the most deadly plagues known to mankind.
Oh, yeah.
They have, you know, brought forth the ability to transplant organs into people and to allow people now to have a normal, natural life who would have died. So you can't do that. It's not reasonable. And science is also a gift from God. And this is the one thing that I always like to try to remind people. Science is also a gift. And he gave us the ability to know these things and to discover these things when he chose to do so.
Sure.
And if he has chosen not so to do so yet with whatever perhaps you have, that's a mystery. That's between you and God and how you're going to deal with that. How are you going to deal with that? There's no silver bullet for it, Dan. There's no silver bullet. And if it is something that, even if it's life-threatening, and it's something that modern medical science truly has nothing else for you, then you can go and try some of these different things. Then you can go and try. But you have to use those means, you know, as long as you can. And what's happening out there is you have people who, say, they have cancer, and they just decide that they're not going to use chemotherapy. We all know what chemotherapy does to people.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible. So they decide not to do that, and they're going to do juicing, or they're going to do one of these other new age type things, stem cell type things, and they die.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens in that family when that dies? Well, I've known of families who they've turned against each other so angry. Let's say the father allowed the mother to do that, or the mother allowed the father to not take the chemotherapy and allow that person to do these different things because they were looking for an answer. It divided the family. It caused all kinds of problems for them. You have to be really careful to not cross that line where you begin to condemn all of science and all of medical because you had bad reactions to certain drugs. I'm thinking of Ernst here. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, Edzard Ernst. He was once very big in the field of complementary and alternative science, and he has sort of reformed. And he teaches you that all medicines have ill effects, even natural stuff does.
Mm-hmm.
But what modern medicine does is it determines, okay, what are the benefits, and do the benefits outweigh the risks? Mm-hmm. That's how medicines are made and sold to us. And what you want to do is weigh that, the benefit and the risk, as far as the cancer. Oh, the chemotherapy can be very hard. You're going to lose your hair. You're going to suffer so terribly from the chemotherapy. But is it worth the risk of dying from it? So, again, you've got to use reason. You've got to stay close to the Lord for making decisions like this. But also always remember that we as Catholics believe that there can never be any real discrepancy between faith and reason. And consequently, and this is right out of the catechism, it says methodical research in all branches of knowledge, provided it's carried out in a truly scientific manner and does not override moral laws, can never conflict with the faith, because the things of the world and the things of the faith derive from the same God.
Right, right. Well, and so we're going to go to a break here. So I love this segue. We're going to be able to move in to how do we discern some of these things? Where do we go? How do we love our family members in some of these situations? And then what are some good practices out there that are helping to educate the people who are searching and trying to figure this all out? So with that, we will be right back.
The beautiful fact that no suffering is wasted, that all suffering has a purpose, and to wrestle with the idea, which is that everything that happens in our lives is either willed or permitted by God. Okay, God, why would you permit these things? I know that you're a good father and you're a loving father, so there's something there. So I have to bridge this gap between your permission of my suffering to your love for me as a father. And Uniformity with God's Will, the book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, bridges that gap. And he explains, as only he can, because he's such a hard hitter, the reality that these are all moments of growth, of virtue, of, hey, your legs are weak. You're like a newborn deer. You can't stand on your own. We need to get you to stand on your own. You know, those sorts of things. Even desolation. You know, the day-to-day kind of the ebbs and flows of the spiritual life. Those things are all permitted for a greater good, whatever that might be.
Check out the brand new updated version of Uniformity with God's Will titled Finding Peace in the Storm with commentary by Dan Burke.
Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. We're with Super Susan Brinkman. She's written a fantastic book called Learn to Discern, a compendium. Is it Christian or New Age? Really, I think Susan is the single, Susan, Women of Grace of Jeanette Bankovic, kind of the combination are the best source of staying up to date on all things New Age and the problems with it. So Susan, before we jump into some of those things that Stephanie wants us to get to, which are very important, I did want to ask you one thing, and that is demonic forces and the level of problem. There are degrees of danger, if you will, to certain practices. All of them are demonic that are not true, or are sourced in the demonic, or lead to the demonic that are not true, or lead to sin, which separates us from God. But some of these false teachings and beliefs and practices have, let's say, a stronger demonic force behind them. Is that true? And if it is, how might you know that?
Well, you have to do your research. You have to do a little bit of homework. And that can be just going to our blog and mm-hmm. looking it up, because chances are we've done it. And the one that comes to my mind would be Reiki, mm-hmm. if we're talking about an alternative that could be dangerous. Now, not all alternatives are going to open the door to Satan necessarily, but something like Reiki would. Why? Mm-hmm. Because if you do your research on Reiki, you're going to find out, where did it come from? Well, it came from, they say that Reiki was developed, thousands and thousands of years ago. They love to use the ancient word for that, yeah. Even though they don't tell you that in ancient times people died by the time they were 35. So I don't know why that's supposedly such a great thing, that something is ancient. It doesn't necessarily mean it works because it was mm-hmm. ancient. Obviously, it didn't work back then, but it came from Makawa Usui, who was a Buddhist monk, and he was at a Tendai Buddhist retreat, and he was standing on a waterfall, and he had this realization about the Reiki healing powers. This is where Reiki comes from. So that's kind of like your first red flag. That doesn't really make a lot of sense, does it? He claims that there is a Reiki source of energy. It's one of these putative forms of energy, like a chi or a ki. In fact, the ki in Reiki refers to that. The rei means transcendental. So he's talking about a spirit-driven energy force. Think about that for a second. Spirit-driven. Well, who is that spirit who's driving it? Who is it? They right. refer to it as the Reiki source with a capital S. They never tell you the name of that. And when the person who has been attuned to become a Reiki master, they're actually channeling that source into you. And that source is telling the person how to manipulate the energy in your body to bring about healing for mm-hmm. you. And the attunement exercises, there's three of them, three different rituals where you are attuned to this source. One of those is, of course, assigning you your spirit guide. And your spirit guide is the one who's going to help you to access the source of the energy, and then to use it to supposedly heal people. That is direct contact now with the occult. That's mm-hmm. direct contact. Okay. It's and anytime if you go into a place, they say, well, Sue, how do I know if she's doing Reiki on me or not? Well, if deep tissue massage, Swedish massage, they're always going to be touching the body. But in Reiki and any other forms of that type of healing energy work, their hands usually hover right above the body. Mm-hmm. And they claim to be, funneling the spirits.
I heard that because the USCCB formally condemned Reiki a few years ago, maybe a decade ago. But I've heard that it's been changed. Unfortunately, nuns do this.
Oh, yeah.
Still practice it, but they call it healing touch. Is that true?
Yes. They have a variety of names for that. Anything, and here's the easy way to spot it. Anything that has to do with chi, ki, prana, just stay away from it.
Right.
Automatically know what it is. You don't even have to look any further. Just stay away from it. That energy does not exist. And the New Age document that I referred to earlier in the last show, Jesus Christ, the Bearer of the Water of Life, refers to that energy as the New Age God. Mm. You do not want to be placing your hands, your health into the hands of a pagan god. And that's exactly what that is. Right. That's what it is. So if you see those words, stay away from it.
Yeah. So I love massage, deep tissue massage. I have issues with my back. So what I do is when I go to a place, I'm looking at their menu. I'm looking at everything on their site. I'm looking for those words, the chi, the ki, the reiki, or whatever. And if they have that going on, I'm going to find someplace else to go. Mm. So that's one of the ways that I watch for that. And you know what strikes me in what you were saying when you were describing Reiki, is that by placing yourself under the hands of that person, you're agreeing, you're making an agreement. So that's where that hook is. That's where the demonic, you're giving authority because you're saying, I'm accepting this. I'm receiving this. And then that's where the handle comes in. And it's like, nope, you made an agreement with me. I'm coming in, whether you like it or not. You know, you can't just say, oh, but I said my rosary while it was happening, you know, because you hear people say, oh, but you know, I do yoga and I pray my rosary while I'm doing yoga. I don't do the chants and stuff. So one of the things that you mentioned is, how do you know if there's a strong demonic force under it? And I think one of the things where you were kind of going with that is the amount of pushback you get when you start to question
irritation,
anger. Do you see that, Sue? In
absolutely.
And where do you see it the most?
Yeah.
Yoga, centering prayer, Harry Potter. Those three are probably the top ones. Yoga is very tricky because people think they're doing this Christian yoga, which in my opinion is even worse because now you are making it into a spiritual practice. They like to say, well, I'm just doing the exercises. Well, as Father Pakwa says, that's impossible because Hindus didn't devise those exercises, asanas, for athletic limbering. They were all designed to lead the practitioner to enlightenment and awareness of their inner divinity. So they never were exercises to begin with. So you can't make them into an exercise. That would be like saying, oh, I'm going to make the sign of the cross to work out my tricep muscle.
Yeah.
No, you're not. That's always going to be the sign of the cross. That's not a tricep exercise. But when they do they say, I'm doing the Christian version. Now you are bringing God into it. Now you're bringing God into it. And God tells us in Deuteronomy 12:31, he says, do not worship me the way the pagans do. He doesn't want you to be praying to him while you're doing the sun salutation. He doesn't want that.
Or down dog.
Right. He doesn't want that. And he's asking you not to do it.
Yeah. It's fascinating, isn't it? And the attachment. I think this sign, and for people listening, let's just say you're irritable right now or you're irritated with us.
Getting angry. Are you yelling at your radio?
One, we love you or we wouldn't be doing this. Right. You know, I'm pretty tired right now. I could be taking a nap, but I'm doing a radio show. But, you know, we don't do this just for nothing. We do it because we care about you.
Yes.
If you're irritated, that's because God's inviting you to healing. He's inviting you to a deeper relationship with him. He's inviting you to turn away from the thing. Otherwise, true spiritual health is detachment, which means you're not attached to created realities. They don't control you in any way. So if they come and go, it's all good, you know. But if you're irritated, it's a really bad sign. And we just ask you to be open to the truth and to go pray. You know, go ask the Lord. Go pray to the Blessed Mother. You know, give yourself to over to the advice of a good, faithful priest, and you're going to find the truth. Oh, go out to Sue's website and Women of Grace. Sue, what's a good URL for them again, if you'd remind us?
It's womenofgrace.com.
Womenofgrace.com. And learn about it, and you'll discover that you may very well have done what Stephanie described. And I'm really glad you brought that up. Stephanie works in deliverance ministry. Both of us have worked with exorcism ministry. What you said is super powerful. And that is when you consent. So you enter into a yoga situation, you enter into any New Age practice, you are entering in by definition to a subordinate position of consent. So that if there is a demonic power there,
you've just opened the door. And I think one of the things that we really have to consider, because I think we kind of think, well, my soul is one thing, my body is another. No, we are body and soul united. If we're separated, that's death. You know, that's the death of the body. And so what we do with our body affects our soul. What we do with our soul affects our body. There is no separation. You cannot compartmentalize it. If I went into a Buddhist temple, and I started to pray the Hail Mary and pray with my rosary and be on my knees to do those things, they'd look at me like, what are you doing? Because I've entered into their space trying to do something else. Well, I can't say that that doesn't have an effect on me. It does have an effect on me. Anything that I consent to, anything that I engage in, anything that I expose myself to, anything where I give over authority of who I am, other than Jesus Christ and Holy Mother Church, I'm going to be in trouble.
Yep.
I'm going to be in trouble. So as we're closing down this show, I want to talk about just quickly, where are some of the promising new ways that you're seeing folks, priests, reaching out to educate on this, to help families that are languishing, individuals that are searching? You know, we just have about 30 seconds, but where are some of those ways that you see that are coming up right now that are so helpful?
Well, I think we talked about it before the show, Father Carlos Martins, you know, his Exorcist Files. He does a great job of trying to teach people through the form of story now. He actually enacts these different things. I have written a series of novels that are coming out in June from Wellspring. Again, using story, this is a women's novel, so it's got a lot of romance in it, but it's also got a whole lot of mystery and intrigue in that. And that's also through story. And also, you've got to live a sacramental life. If you've been involved in any of these things, if you have any doubt in your mind, go to confession and confess it and get it off your heart. Break any bonds, because what Stephanie, what you were talking about there, you form bonds. When you feel like you're a little upset because you heard something you don't like, that's a bond. And what's happening there is you're shaking that bond and Satan doesn't like it. And he's reminding you, hey, you're mine. You gave me your consent. You've got to go along with this. So you got to be careful with all that. Use the sacraments. That's what they're there for.
Yeah, and seek your healing.
Susan Brinkman, thank you for being with us. Learn to Discern, Compendium, Is It Christian or New Age? Awesome text. Check her out at Woman of Grace. Thank you so much for being with us.
Until next time. Yeah, absolutely. It's wonderful to have you. Until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.